The Third Victim, Disc 5.
8 p.m. The streets of Bakersville had descended into dusky shades of gray, and Rainey's mood had grown tense. After speaking with Principal Van der Zanden, Rainey and Quincy had paid a visit to Melissa Avalon's tiny apartment, hoping to learn more about her life. By all appearances, Melissa Avalon was specifically targeted in the shooting. Perhaps she'd even been the only intended victim, and Rainey was having a hard time believing Danny O'Grady would purposely shoot the one teacher who'd been kind to him. Which raised the question of who Melissa Avalon was, and better yet, who might have wanted her dead. After hearing Quincy's suspicion of an Avalon-Van der Zanden romance, Rainey was starting to lean in the principal's direction, or maybe his betrayed wife. Quincy, on the other hand, wasn't convinced of anything yet. He seemed to buy Melissa Avalon as the primary target, but he didn't think that meant the shooter had to know her. He'd murmured something about plenty of strangers having murdered plenty of young, pretty women simply for being young, pretty women. Rainey really didn't want to know what the agent read at night. Unfortunately, Sanders had halted their investigation cold by getting to Avalon's apartment first. Drawers were rifled, the kitchen dismantled, the bed ripped apart. The crime scene technicians had even pawed through the woman's tampons. Rainey would have to wait for the state's report on the evidence or beg Sanders for information about her own damn case. It didn't leave her feeling amused. She had stormed back to the task force center with Quincy just in time to meet Luke Hayes and Deputy Tom Dawson. They had hoped to interview Becky O'Grady before dinner. They had failed. Avery Johnson had been at Shep's house. He had demanded to be present for the interview, and Sandy and Shep had insisted on sitting in as well. That had put an 8-year-old witness in a tiny family room with 5 scrutinizing adults. Becky did the logical thing. She held her stuffed bear tight, curled up in a ball on the sofa, and fell asleep. After 15 minutes, Luke and Tom headed for the door. Shep didn't see them out. The lawyer took care of that after informing the officers that the O'Gradys would be changing to an unlisted number immediately due to harassing calls. Also, he wanted patrols to guard the family's safety. Hadn't they seen what some hostile redneck had written on the O'Gradys' garage?